भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, The Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, Text number 48.
Kim durapam mai prite, tathapi vibhudha shabhaha, maye kantamatir mani, मत्तो वांछति तत्त्ववीद् किं दुरापं मयि प्रीते तथापि विबुध दर्शभाः मय्येकान्तमतिर्मान्यन् मत्तो वांछति तत्त्ववीद् किं दुरापं मयि प्रीते तथापि विबुधर्षभाः मय्येकान्तमतिर्नान्यान् मत्तो वाञ्छति तत्त्ववीत्। किन्दुरापं मयि प्रीते तथापि विबुधर्षभा मय्येकान्तमतिर्नान्यान् तो नाञ्छति तत्त्ववीत्।
माताजिस् वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन।
किम्
वाट्
दुरापम्
difficult to obtain,
mayi
when,
prite
satisfied,
tathapi
still,
vibhudha rishabha
O best of the intelligent demigods,
mayi
in me,
ekanta
exclusively fixed,
matihi
whose attention,
nanyat
not anything other,
mattaha
than me,
vanchati
desires,
tatvavit
one who knows the truth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, O best of the intelligent demigods, although it is true that nothing is difficult for one to obtain when I am pleased with him, a pure devotee, whose mind is exclusively fixed upon me, does not ask me for anything but the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Purport. When the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously waited for their enemy Vritrasura to be killed. This means that the demigods are not pure devotees. Although without difficulty one can get anything he desires, if the Lord is pleased, the demigods aspire for material profit by pleasing the Lord. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemy. This is the difference between a pure devotee and the devotee on the material platform. Indirectly, the Lord regretted that the demigods did not ask for pure devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnanan Janashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Sacha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhye Vacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. Before I start, I like to beg the blessings of all the devotees, specifically senior devotees, so that we can speak and discuss about this elevated topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this appearance of demon Vritrasura being very much harassed by the great powers and thrashings of Vritrasura, all the demigods, they were practically without any strength, without any hope. They approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then they are praying for the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when the Lord appears hearing their prayers, he is very pleased. Last verse we saw that Lord says that I am very happy to hear your prayers. But then next verse only he is telling the fault in which they were by for praying this kind of asking these prayers for getting relieved from the Vritrasura. So here the Lord is comparing a pure devotee and a devotee who is having material desires. And then the Lord is telling that my dear Lord, my dear intelligent demigod, that is Indra, that if someone pleases me, then there is nothing in this world which he cannot achieve. Anything. He just asks. But then he said, the most amazing thing is that those who are ekanta bhaktas, those who are pure devotees of the Lord, whose attention is never diverted other than Krishna, they had no desires to ask from the Lord. And he said, that is most amazing. And because of that, they achieve me. I give myself to them. But then he says, I am little... Of course, here he didn't say, but then Lord is, Prabhupada says here that the Lord regretted that the demigod did not ask for pure devotional service. The Lord is personally standing pleased with prayers, and still demigods were asking for relief from Ritrasura. Something material, not something spiritual. So that did not please the Lord much. And if you go next verse, there the same principle echoes. Lord says that someone may be foolish to ask some material benefits, but he says, I am not foolish. So, and not only that, if someone asks material things and someone gives material things, then both are considered foolish. The person who is asking material benefits, he is foolish, fool number one. And then person who is in charge or who is the supplier of that desires, if he also supplies without any consideration, then he becomes fool number two. So both becomes of the same part. So Lord is telling to demigods that you have already become fool number one, and now you are trying to make me fool number two by giving you whatever you want. So, first, here the Prabhupada is talking about all the demigods, how they are not pure devotees. Because demigods, although they are very great personalities, they have gone through great pious deeds. That's why they are put personally by the Lord to do this service of maintaining the world. So these are the great authorities in this whole universe, having one of the greatest powers to deal and control this world. But still, because they are having material desires, they are not considered very high. And that we see the whole Krishna book, so many great demigods, they commit a mistake understanding Krishna and try to surpass or try to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We find in the case of Indra showering rains in Vrindavan, and then Krishna lifts Govardhan hill to teach him a lesson. Even Brahma comes and steals the calves, trying to test Krishna whether he is real God. So we see that demigods also, they are, of course, not all the demigods, but many of the demigods we see by their behavior that they are not pure devotees, that their only goal is achieving Krishna. They want to please Krishna, they want to serve Krishna along with some agenda. They also have their own pleasure motives. Shri Shri Radharas Bihari Ji Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Gonitai Ki, Shri Prabhupada Ki. So that's why when someone goes to demigods, he will not be able to achieve the highest perfection. That's why you find in 4th canto, when Dhruva Maharaj, although he was just a small child of 5 years, but when he desired something greater than his grandfather, that is the kingdom greater than even Lord Brahma, which was really out of the world, beyond this world ambition, and then he had his first guru in the form of his own mother, Suniti. So when he comes to Suniti and tells that nothing less than this I'll be satisfied with, you tell me what I'm supposed to do now. So then Suniti very wonderfully, she tells the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She says that actually I am just your mother and I have so much love for you. But then the Supreme Lord is millions times more, you know, loving to you and me and everyone else. So there is no comparison. So he is the only shelter. So you go to the forest. I have heard that many great sages, they go to the forest for searching Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you go there, surely you will, you know, find him. And then she cautions Dhruva Maharaj that please make sure that you don't worship anyone else than Supreme Person. Don't divert yourself to other demigods, even if they look little lucrative. You know, they may become pleased early and give, you know, immediate benefits. Don't go for it. So that was the caution given to Dhruva Maharaj. Because the devotees, they understand that whatever benefits demigods may give, they are all transient. They are all temporary. They will finish off. Because nothing in this material world is permanent. Even the demigods themselves are not permanent. What to speak of their benedictions? So they are there, although you get quickly, but then they vanish also quickly. And second, he says the difference between a pure devotee and a devotee having a material desires. Because in Srimad Bhagavatam also, this kind of discussion comes. Although all these categories, whether one is Shuddha Bhakta, pure devotee, or someone is having material desires, or someone having other, you know, so many desires, they are also clubbed into a section of devotees, but then there is a different levels. So, first is a karmi who is just doing his karma according to the varna and ashrama. Then he becomes little evolved and then he starts worshipping Krishna. That's why this verse comes, akamo sarva kamova moksha kamo daradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushapparam. That whether you have a desires, no desires, or even the desire of liberation, don't worry. There is only one way, and that is to serve Supreme Personality of Godhead with one pointed attention. That will clean the heart and then eventually one will become devotee. But here we find that this kind of approach of demigods, that is not considered very intelligent by the Lord. And he regrets the way the demigods are asking benediction. Even in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Goswami is telling about this, you know, shloka, that is Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam. So these are the definition given for Uttama Bhakti. That Anya Abhilasha Ita Shunyam. So there he says that all the desires should be zero, other than serving Krishna. That kind of devotional service is considered Uttama Bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti. And he says Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. There should not be any endeavor to understand Krishna by speculative way or by karma. Doing something and asking some benefit. Praying for the Lord and asking some benediction. Or doing some activity and asking some punya from it. So then such kind of devotional service is impure. And we see, Prabhupada says in one of the lectures in Bhagavatam, there he quotes about this, you know, what is the eternal religion. There he says, because this comes in Srimad Bhagavatam also, that when there is a not proper understanding of devotional service, then one comes across different varieties of religions. So when we say Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So that Ajnana or Timira, when we say, what is that Ajnana and Timira? That Chaitan Charitamrita, you know, says here, yeah, he says, Surya Chandra Hare Aiche Sabha Andhakar Vastupakashiya Kare Dharmera Prachar Ehi Matadui Bhai Jivera Adnyan Tamonashakari Kaila Tattva Vastudnyan. So he's talking about the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, that by giving the Tattva Dnyan, that is exact understanding of Krishna consciousness, they have delivered this world by giving light of knowledge. And then he says here, Adnyana tamera naam kahi e kaitav dharmartha kama moksha vancha adi sab. So here he says that the darkness of ignorance is called kaitava, the way of cheating, which begins with religiosity, economic development and sense gratification and liberation. So these four, are considered kaitava. Kaitava means cheating. Cheating religion. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam describes dharma projita kaitava atra nirmatsaranam satam. And he says, Vedyam vastamam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. So here says, dharma projita kaitava atra. Atra means here in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Nirmatsaranam Satam, that is, this is the Amala Puran. What is done here is all this Kaitava Dharma, they are finished off. They are removed completely. So, what are this Kaitava Dharma? We see here that even Vrindavan Das Thakur also says that whatever amount of religion goes on the name of religion, they are all cheating. Why? Because they cheat one from ultimate benefit of achieving Krishna. They may give you some benefits, some material benefits, some siddhi, something. But then one is cheated of his ultimate benefit. So here he says, Prithvete yacha yaha kichu dharma name chale, Bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. So he is not just telling that it's okay religion, but he says paripurna chale. He says it's a high class cheating. If someone is not coming to the level of understanding that Krishna is the ultimate goal, I have to achieve and please and serve Krishna. If that is not the case, then that kind of religions are called as completely cheating. And that's why Srimad Bhagavatam pushes them off, showing that these are all not. Then what is dharma? Prabhupada, very simply, he says that dharma means something objective. Because you cannot have your own dharma, I have my own dharma, Christians have their own dharma, Muslims have their own dharma, the terrorists have their own dharma, the thieves have their own dharma. No, it doesn't happen like that. There, Prabhupada says, 2 plus 2 is equal to 4. That is true in Calcutta University, that is true in Delhi University, even if you go to London, 2 plus 2 is 4 only. It's not that in Calcutta 2 plus 2 is 3, in London 2 plus 2 is 5. No. So, he says, religion means, he says, dharma means obedience of the laws of God. That is religion. And we see the highest form of religion, Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita, that sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami mashucha. So when you give up all such material religiousness, then one is elevated to the shuddha bhakti, that is pure devotional service. So what it means to be attracted to dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So, it's like dharma means the religiosity. That I do some puja, dana, tapa, and then I have some material benefits. I have a desire that I should go to the heaven, you know, this should happen, that should happen. So all these desires to get material benefits, that is, these are all, one may say, now I don't have desire to go to heaven. Who says? But then, although we don't have desire to go to heaven, but then we have so many desires now, because our desires in Kali Yuga also has come down. We are happy just going to America, London, that is our heaven now. And practically, if you see all the billboards, they are, you know, giving that understanding only. Okay, here is a thing. You just do this and enjoy. That's what the Vedas, they tell. Okay, you do this thing and then you get enjoyment. But even in outside world, practically things are that only. Everybody is trying to increase their enjoyment in this world and to increase their stay in this material world. So whatever religiosity is used for that, that becomes useless. And artha means gaining wealth, so that you can pursue your sense gratification, kama. And then when you are frustrated, then you desire moksha. So these are four purusharthas, no doubt, given in the Vedic literature. But that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give something higher than these four purusharthas, that is a panchama purushartha. That is the love of Godhead. So when we achieve that love of Godhead, all other purusharthas, they are nothing in front of that. So there, why in Chaitanya Charitamrita only, it says that bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. That even if you get something out of this so-called religiosity, whether it's a bhukti, bhukti means sense gratification. A person, whatever sense gratification he may get, it's still ashanta. Why ashanta? Because he keeps comparing with other sense gratification. You have a desire to have, say, some big car, and then by doing hard work you achieve one day, and then you are so happy as if you are floating in sky only. Then you come down little bit, take that car and come home, and then you call all the relatives glorify you nicely. But then after a week you find that your neighbor is having better car than you. Then within week, whatever amount of happiness is now gone. Now you feel that I am a failure. So any sense gratificatory desires or activities we have, they frustrate ultimately, because so much comparison is there. And in terms of bhukti mukti, mukti means liberation, going out of this world. One may say that sometimes you ask some devotees, so do you require mukti? Say, no. Humko mukti nahi chahiye, kuch nahi chahiye, sirf bhakti chahiye humko. So one may say like that, but then by our activity we see that whenever we are trying to get rid of miseries in this world, that is attempt to become liberated. Liberation means what? To get rid of birth, old age, disease, death. I don't want to take birth again. Why? Because I don't like it. So much pain is there. So similarly, when someone is doing any activity here, even in devotional service, if the devotional service is creating trouble, we want to get rid of it. Telling that this service is little, giving so much tension, giving so much trouble. So, I don't want to do it. That is also desire for liberation at our level. But we want to get rid of that trouble, even if it is devotional trouble. So that is desire for mukti. And siddhi is the desire for becoming perfect, perfection. That is what siddhi is. So, one may say, okay, do you have any desire for siddhi? You want to fly in sky or walk in water, or you want to become antardhan, or do you want to do that? Devotee say, no. Vaikuntha, Golok Vrindavan. But when we are talking that, yes, I don't desire for any siddhi, But then we also are so much, you know, our heart is longing for getting some perfections, you know, in this world. Someone wants to have perfection in his material education. Someone wants to, even in devotional service, we want to, when you come to Krishna consciousness is like a big mall, you know, it's like big store. So many new items are there. So we come and then we learn how to pay obeisances, and then different prayers are there, and you know, Bhagavad Gita is there, and deities are there. So everything is new, and then we are also very enlivened. Okay, now I want to learn Kartal, and then we learn Kartal, and then we are happy. Then we say, okay, done now. What next? Mridanga is there, you know, play boom boom, and then you feel very happy that now I have mastered it, Siddhi. Now I can play anywhere. And then you say, okay, now, then there are so many services, management, or whatever, DTs. Then one becomes, you know, perfect in that. So, in this way, if our shelter in Krishna consciousness is only perfection in some, you know, kind of skills, that also is, you know, Siddhi. If it is not serving Krishna, then that also becomes a Siddhi Kami. Although that is used in Krishna's service, it will be purified, no doubt. As we started that, Akamo Sarva Kamo Va Moksha Kamo Udaradhi. But then still, it is a desire for our own benefit. So when we are trying for that, that becomes an obstacle in the devotional service. So, a devotee never desires anything other than service to Krishna, even if it is difficulty. That's what becomes a gold standard. You know, now the standard is gold, generally the currency. So gold standard for devotional service is when you are in difficulty, when devotional service is creating some not comfortable situation, in that how you behave. Lord will be greatly pleased by that. Yesterday only one devotee was telling this pastime, which happened, is a true story, which happened around 300 years back in South India. One Brahmana was there, and very pakka Brahman, worshipping the Lord. He has great love for the Lord, and he was worshipping, he was chanting the prayers, chanting the Vedic mantras. One day when he was going, he found that huge rains, like downpour of rains. So when the so much of rain suddenly came, he was trying to find some shelter where he could, you know, stay for a while till the point rains they go down. So then he was trying to see some tree, some, you know, shade, and then middle of nowhere he found some shade. That some room was there. So he just rushed in, and he was standing there waiting, you know, seeing outside when the rain will stop. And then to his surprise he saw back, and that was a butcher shop. So he could see the, you know, animal tied there, half cut, and then butcher was there with his knife. So this butcher, like generally the such pure brahmanas, they will never come to butcher's home. So this butcher, he said, oh brahmana, you have come to my home, what service you want, do you want something from here? So he was kind of joking with that brahmana. So brahman felt little, you know, very ashamed of that he came there, but now there was no, you know, other means. So he was just praying that let this rain stop. But then to his great amazement and great shock, he saw a beautiful big Narsimha Shila on the desk of that butcher. And butcher was not performing worship or something, butcher was keeping that Narsimha Shila as a paperweight. You know, so many orders were there, and he was just... So this Brahman was shocked. Then he asked that butcher wala, this, you know, butcher. He said, hey, where did you get this? He scratched his head. He said, I don't know from where, somewhere it came. So then Brahman said, can you give this to me? Butcher said, no problem. First time you are coming here, and we should give something to Brahman. And you are asking a stone which doesn't make any use for me also. I can use another stone. Don't worry. Take this. So Brahman took that, you know, Narasimha Shaligram, went his home, and then he was feeling so much, you know, it's like sad in his heart that Lord has to stay in such a butcher shop. So then he started worshipping Narasimha Shila at his home. So when he was worshipping, one day Narasimhadev appeared to his dream. Narasimhadev said, see, he said, because of your, you know, community, you are so irresponsible that I have to go there, you know. Although I was supposed to be taken nice care, but because, you know, some of the Brahmins that didn't take care of me properly, I landed up there in butcher shop. And he said, I feel so unhappy about it. So he said, you better, you know, put me there again. I don't want to be, you know, with all of you. So the Brahman heard that. He was very much, you know, it's like pained to see that how much Lord was unhappy. But then he continued his worship. He did not go and give it back. So next day again, Narasimhadev came in his dream. He said, better you give it back, you know, before you start getting the reactions for keeping me. He said, no, my dear Lord, I want to serve you. I cannot leave you like this. Then after 2-3 days, he found that there was a great conflict because he was a teacher. He had a big group of his students on whom his all livelihood was going on. So practically all the students, they left him, telling that this is a cheater. He is not teaching nicely. We'll go to another teacher. So his whole, you know, the occupation was in trouble because there was no one. And then Narasimhadev came again in his dream. He said, it will be better for you if you give that Narasimha Shila back to that butcher. He said, my dear Lord, I will worship you to my, you know, it's like capacity, whatever I can. If I give you there, that is not, my heart can't, you know, accept this. After a month, his, you know, wife, very, you know, good wife, died in some great. Then after some time, seeing the whole situation, he had some children. They also left him, telling that you are not a good father. So at one point of time, he was alone, having nothing. Narasimhadev again came in his dream. He said, now also time is there, better you give it back. You know. But he said no. Then he contracted a very great disease. He was suffering, he was almost on the verge of death. The doctors told that he will die within few days only. You know. So he had some of the well-wishers who were there at the side of his bed. So then he said, see, the Lord wants that, you know, he is very displeased. But then I can never, you know, leave my Lord like this. The service I can never leave. So he said, better than giving this to someone else and not getting properly treated, what you do is, you cremate me along with this, you know, Narasimha Shila. So that this Narasimha Shila will go along with me. It doesn't have to be at the place where the Lord is so much neglected. It says, when I'll die after some days, you put that Shaligram Shila on my, you know, dead body. Let that Shaligram Shila remains, you know, with me. So when this was the determination of that Brahmana, the Lord Narasimhadev came in his dream. And this time he was very pleased. He said, my dear Brahmana, I am so pleased with your determination to serve me in all these difficulties. And he said, all these difficulties were created by me only, to test you. But you have passed the test. And then by the mercy of the Lord, he got back again everything. And then he started worshipping the Lord, you know, properly again. So we see that the devotee is not concerned about whether he is gaining some happiness or whether he is, you know, getting some difficulty. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are so many difficulties may come in devotional service, but that difficulties are my real wealth. So he considers that as a wealth. Why wealth? Because it gives him Krishna along with that difficulties. He becomes more strong, he becomes more determined. His devotional service is triggered when the difficulties they come. So devotee considers that as a great asset in his life. So having this understanding, even if some devotee may go and approach the Lord with material desires. Why? What is the problem with material desires? The problem is two. One is, material desire distracts the practice of devotional service. And second is, it deprives us from the ultimate benefit. So how it distracts is that we are going now our way to Supreme Personality of Godhead, Goloka Vrindavan. When material desires, they distract, you know, either to achieve some perfection in this life or gaining some material happiness, and then we'll land up somewhere, you know, practically it's like there are so many detours it comes. Although the road is very straight, you know, the highway is there, but then sometimes our desire is there that let me see what is there that side also, because they say the other side is always looks green. So when you are going, there is a lot of greenery on the roadside. So sometimes that is very alluring and one is lost. So that takes long, long, long time to come to Krishna consciousness again in one's purified state. And it deprives one from the highest benefit. Practically one is cheated. One doesn't get Krishna, one gets something which is... That's why when the demigods are asking for the benefit of Lord's mercy to kill Vritrasur, Lord was not very happy. He said, you could have achieved anything. You know, even the Dhruva Maharaj, when he went to the Lord, and then he went for a great ambition of the world greater than Brahma. But when the Lord came, he becomes cleansed in his heart. And he says, now I am, you know, cleared off. I don't want any other benediction. Because I have seen you, it's not required. But then Lord, being very merciful, still he gave him all the material benedictions because he wanted it before. And that was another test done by the Lord. So we can see that we are always going ahead in our Krishna consciousness, and then Lord will keep, you know, testing. That is the nature of the master, to test, you know, his servant, how much he has become advanced. So Lord keep giving, you know, different tests. We can see in the lives of great devotees, even in the life of Srila Prabhupada, we find that for 30 years, more than that, he was working so hard alone in the heat of summers in Delhi, or whether it's, you know, roaming around in Mumbai, finding out some few thousands of rupees to publish his Bhagavatam. For 30 years he travelled, you know, length and breadth of India to get some assistance, and he couldn't find even one disciple he had. That also was like, he had his own agendas. So that was the, it's like, output of his 30 years. But that also didn't dodge Prabhupada from the mission of his spiritual master. Now, never we find Prabhupada said that, okay, this is too much now. Better I stay in Vrindavan only. And then, that was so pleasing to the Lord that within 11 years, Prabhupada travelled the whole globe 14 times, constructed and established 108 temples, thousands of devotees, crores of books distributed. And then he was like a king of the whole empire of ISKCON. And that was another test by Krishna. First thing, Krishna took away everything from Prabhupada. Took away his business, took away family, took away everything. There was no success. Practically he was a beggar. But in that also, Prabhupada didn't stop his devotional service. And then, he made him like a king only. Having followers which are like, you know, so dedicated. Like Prabhupada was telling once, when he was in India, he said all these Britishers, they came to make Indians as their slaves. And some of the Indians, those who were like really not liking this, then he was quoting this Motilal Nehru. He had kept just to, you know, show off by giving 10 to 20 times bigger salary, he had kept one British servant in his home. Because he was very rich, he wanted to show like, you know, hum bhi kam nahi hai, like. And he was paying really, you know. So then he said that although the Britishers came here and they made Indian slaves and they were giving them, you know, money and other things. But he said, I went to Britain and there are so many British people now, they are serving me and I don't give him one paisa salary. So, of course, Prabhupada was not like a kind of a Hitler and wanting to have a power or something. But we can see that how much Krishna reciprocated with his devotional service by taking away things from him and giving him a, you know, time where he could exhibit his devotional service in that trying circumstances. And then second test was done when everything was given him. Beyond his, like Prabhupada says that this was beyond imagination of anyone. The kind of success, like we see. But in both cases we find that Prabhupada always remained undaunted, undisturbed, never deviated from serving Krishna. His goal was simply to serve Krishna by the guidance of his spiritual master. So, when that is the case, that is the standard of pure devotional service. That whether it is good time, bad time. So that's why Devotee was telling that we are not like good weather devotee, fair weather devotee. Fair weather means sometimes weather is good, everything is nice, then we are very nice. When the weather is bad, atmosphere is bad, there is no support, then we have some other things to do. So, devotee means whatever weather it is, good weather, bad weather, he is still looking for, to serve Krishna. Okay, this is 9.5. Any questions? I'll stop here because it's 9.5. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.